going to get things going and thus get empty podium. It won't take long.
Is it doing any echoing tonight, Sister Donna Faye?
Not right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can keep it that way.
Yeah.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Glad to be back with you this evening in preparation for our Bible study tonight. Do want to go over our prayer request list and have everybody to remember one another in prayer, especially. Do remember Brother Charlie and Sister Donna Faye. Brother Charlie is at home. They're doing much better, but they're still not where they need to be for sure. So do remember that in your prayers. Also, remember Nancy Pixley McPhail in your prayers. Brother Don Rill's neighbor Calvin, Lisa Curry, Brother Bill and Sister Joanne Bynum. Remember Mary Beth Keller, Donna McAfee, Amala, Evan, Carla Swink, Sister Jean did have some infection in her knee, and so they weren't able to remove the stitches, and so does need our prayers there for sure. Rhonda requested prayer for Treva Wagner, Sister Joanne Dunaway, Carla Roselle, Serena Garrett, Brother George Lynn, Reverend Carl Chessier, pronounce that last name, I'm sorry. Sister Reba Barnes, I remember her. Jason, Skip and Linda. Sister Mary had been sick and she has been diagnosed with asthma. So remember that. And then I do not remember their name tonight for whatever reason, but the brother and sister who comes with us on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights, they have a granddaughter, Bella Grace. She's been in the hospital, children's hospital. And so do remember them in your prayers. Sister Mary, Sister Faye, Sister Tawana, Brother Junior, and Sister Ruby. Just got an update real fast here. Sister Jean. Let's see here. Sister Jean got her stitches out and is on new medication. So praise the Lord for that. She goes back to the doctor on Friday but has to stay off her leg. So do remember those in your prayers. And she said, and I didn't know this, Sister Donna Faye, Brother George is back in the hospital. Is that correct? So remember that in your prayers all tonight. Remember my brother-in-law Scott, just continue to lift him up as well in your prayers. And then we've got a procedure tomorrow, if everything works out right. We'll be having some minor surgery on the back of our neck there. And I say minor, it will be minor, but there'll be a few stitches. So do remember that in your prayers as well this evening. So with that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer tonight and get into our lesson. Father, this evening we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, dear God, for your love, for your mercy and your grace. Ask you, dear God, tonight touch each of these needs, Lord, according to your plan, your purpose, and will for their lives. Help them, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord. Father, as only you can, provide to them the comfort, dear God, that they stand in need of, Lord, and situations that are faced, and strength, dear God, to get through the circumstances that are around. Lord, we pray, Father, tonight, especially for those that are lost. We ask you, dear God, that you would just reach down and touch them, Lord, one more time this side of eternity with conviction and draw. Dear God, that they would make it home, Lord, that they would give their lives to you, Father. Lord, we just pray this evening that you would just meet their, help them, dear God, to realize their need, Lord, we pray. And Lord, we want to thank you for all the many things you've done for us, for the safety of the weak, dear God, for the strength that has been given, the healing that's been provided, dear God, the touches of healing, Lord. Father, we love you, Lord, and we just thank you. And Father, we just thank you tonight. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Thankful tonight for all that God does. We talked about doing a study and had mentioned it the other day, and also had mentioned it the other evening at church about it, and doing it on the word disobedient and the finding of how many times that word or the sub of it, I guess, you know, like if you look at manner, and then you could say mannerism or mannerly or however that form would be, and then go through there and do that. Well, we've done that with this here, and so we looked up diso in our King James Bible search and found it to be found in there 23 times. And the number 23 found in your King James Bible is related to depravity or to disobedience, which it is there. I've got a book. It's called the King James Bible Code. And Brother Mike Hoggard, a dear friend of ours, he wrote this book. And when I think about Bible numbers, I continue to go back and look at his book and what he says, because I know that he searched it out thoroughly. And so when you begin to look at it and you see the way that words are found in the Bible, and again, not every number is significant, but everything in the Word of God is. And so when I looked at this and just I thought to myself, well, just break it down a little bit, because, you know, it's always interesting to me when I do that. And I found that it was in here certain ways 6 times, and then certain ways 13 times, and then another certain way 4 times. Now, in that 4, I will say that once it was only mentioned once, and then the other were mentioned 3 times in that. Excuse me. And I was sharing with the church Sunday evening when it's talking about this. The amazing thing is only man is disobedient, right? God's not disobedient. God is the creator of all things. God is the lover of you and I. He desires for us to come to know Him, to accept His Son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to be born again, to be changed, as we talk about. You know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away and all things are become new. That's found in your Bible. These are factual things that are found there. And so when we think about it, who is disobedient? Who's the problem? Who's the one who has the problems with disobeying God? And that's you and I, man, which is the interesting thing there, because when you break it down and you look at the word disobedient, which was the first thing that I brought up, the first time that I found it was in Romans chapter 5. And so you can open your Bibles up there, excuse me, tonight, and look at it if you want to. I've got these printed. They're saved on my iPad again, because I got so many scriptures. I don't have enough bookmarks, and I can just look at the scriptures one at a time here. But in the book of Romans, chapter 5, the first part of this starts out, and it talks about how that Jesus Christ died for us, because of our sinfulness. And you read all the way through there, and you rejoice in that. But then it's an amazing thing, again, when I talked about man being disobedient. The number of six is man. The word disobedience is found six times in Scripture, which really is evident to me. It's us, right? There's no two ways about it. You can't get around it. For the first time, it's found in, the word disobedience is found in chapter 5. So let's look at verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, that all have sinned." And we know that this is Adam, right? He's talking about Adam. Adam's sin. One man, sin entered in the world. And if that, well, Brother Arnie, no. In the Bible, we're talking in the relationship which God does. And he said, "Whereas by one man sin entered into the world." He said, "For until the law sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." And he's talking about Jesus again in this aspect, but Jesus never sinned. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead," talking of Adam, "much more by the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." And, you know, when you want to think about this, a lot of times folks don't even want to talk about sin. I don't sin. You know, I don't do everything right, and I'm not perfect. So, if we're not perfect, what are we? You know, we're sinners. Okay? And so he went on to say in verse 16, "And not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by one offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, so even by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life." And then in verse 19 is where we're getting to the word, "For as by one man's disobedience," there it is, by one man's disobedience. It started with Adam, but it continues on through all of us. "But by the grace of God," right? "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." So Christ gave His life on Calvary's cross to save us because, why? We're disobedient. And somebody would say, "Well, I don't sin." Well, do you disobey? Well, I don't behave. You know, I don't always obey everything. Well, disobedience is sin in the regards and the context of which we're talking here. If you want to say you're disobedient unto man because they're trying to make you go against God, then you would be disobedient unto men, not unto God. That's a different thing there. But when we are disobedient in this relationship, which is the Bible's talking about here, He's talking to you and I in our disobedience towards God, and that we look at. So when we look at it this way, again, that therein in the Bible is how we find the relationship, that the number six is the number of man, and man is disobedience. In Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, it says, "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled." God has a plan. And God's desire is to reward obedience. And you and I tonight, if you think about it this way, if we would be obedient, boy, we'd be so much better off. If the world would be obedient unto God, the world would be so much better off. We would find ourselves in a relationship that would be so much better. I couldn't tell you, you know, but I've been in some training this week and had the, I guess you might say, the opportunity to go to a summit on damage prevention, which is what we're in currently in work, is in damage prevention. And hearing a lot of speakers and stuff, and then yesterday we had a keynote speaker for lunch, and he was the head coach of the Louisiana Raging Cajun baseball team. And I'll be honest with you, wasn't expecting the speech or the talk that he gave, because he come in there, and right out of his mouth, first thing off, was basically this very thing: we're sinners and we need God. And then went on to tell his story of his life and what he went through and how he had to come to the same realization that he needed needed God. He needed to be saved. He needed Jesus in his life. And so he talked through this, and as he did, it just kind of kept forming. I'm looking around at all these people in this room, and I'm thinking to myself, how many people in here are Christians, and how many people are not? How many people are listening to him with I guess you might say, a cold heart and a closed mind? And how many are listening here hoping to hear something, hoping to be encouraged, you know, I can't make a complete judgment, but I would just say this: at the end of the day, when we went into the ending reception of the day, they were going to give some door prizes and stuff. So I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to hang around for a little bit and stuff, and then just see if maybe I could win a door prize, especially because they was handing out cash. You know, hey, everybody loves cash. But anyways, walked through the doorway into the area where everybody was. And I want to tell you something. Hit me right off the bat. There was probably 80% of the people in there had beer in their hands. Of all the folks that were eating lunch, 80% of them, it just seemed like at that time there was no effect. Nothing that man said made any difference to them. And one of the things he was talking about was how that alcohol had literally pulled him down into the pit. And it wasn't until he got God in his life, the centered in his life, that he got that out of his life in order to see what God could do and who he really was. And so, if you think about it this way, man is disobedient even after knowing the truth. They don't want to know the truth. A lot of times the Bible says their deeds are evil. And so hearing the truth and understanding the facts, man is disobedient. God told Adam, and Eve, he said, of every tree of the garden you can eat, but the tree of the midst of the garden, which was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that tree they could not eat. And I've always been amazed, again, they could have ate of the tree of life and lived forever. But they ate of the tree that God said, don't eat of this tree. They were disobedient. And we can blame the devil all the time, but the truth of the matter is this: you and I choose these things. Therefore, we choose to either be obedient or disobedient. And God is going to one day punish those that are disobedient, and he's going to reward those that are obedient. Just like life, we oftentimes think, well, man, look at them. They're breaking every law and doing all this stuff, and they've got it all and everything. One day they stand before God. And by the way, God is the equalizer. That's the long and the short of it. What we can get away here with man, we're not going to be getting away with when we stand before God. And you and I need to really reconcile that in our lives so that we can understand the need to reconcile with God and get things right with God. Because God is going to be the punisher of disobedience and the rewarder of obedience. Again, just thinking about that. Whereas by one man's obedience, Christ, life came, right? But by one man's disobedience, Adam, death came. Death reigned until Christ. And Christ conquered death in His life, in His perfection, in His death, His burial, His resurrection. He ultimately became the sacrifice for God. In Ephesians chapter 2, I use this scripture a whole lot in reading, but I really don't like to leave off some of the verses, but for the sake of time this evening, we will continue to go through these a little bit in the way that we're going at it. But he says here, I'll just look up here in verse 2, chapter 2, book of Ephesians, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Again, in the number 6 being the number of man, what spirit works in the children of those that are walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience? They're walking in the course according to the course of this world. This world says that you don't have to obey God completely to get to heaven. You just have to act like there's a God, or confess there's a God, or go to church here and there, or read your Bible here and there, or pray here and there. You know, the old saying is that in war, that there is no sinners in a foxhole, right? Or atheists in a foxhole. Everybody in that foxhole is praying to God, asking God to save them, asking God to get them out of there safely. You know, whatever they're doing, they're making that deal however they can with God to try to do it. And that's even one of the things that the coach said yesterday, is that, you know, he said that when you're a person who drinks and you're going down the road and you know that you've drank too much and you know that you're going to get in trouble if they pull you over, and the next thing you know, you see those lights flashing in your rearview mirror, it's amazing how many people start dealing with God, right? They'll start saying, "Oh God, save me. Oh God, protect me. Get me through this. I'll do this. Do this." And we do that constantly, and just as soon as it's all over with, we go right back to doing what we've always done. Why? Because we're disobedient. In our nature, we're disobedient. We're following after, and you don't want to hear this tonight, but if you're not following after God, you are following after Satan. You're following after the devil. You have a leader. You just don't want to admit it. But when we admit those things and we realize those things, then we're apt to make that change that we need to make, which is to go from being disobedient to being obedient, from not following God to following God, from following the devil. We get rid of the devil and we get into the relationship that we need with God. Because he said there, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And one of the things that Paul's talking here to the Ephesians, he's telling them, is that they did, right? They're not now. They're not supposed to be now. But they were dead, and they did follow that because they were disobedient. But what he said in the ending of that, it was the same spirit that they followed that now still works in the children of disobedience. So when you and I are saved and we become that new creature in Christ Jesus, we leave off the world of disobedience, go to the world of obedience. And by the way, we're not slaves in the context that if we don't do everything God tells us to do, He's going to come down here and beat us. But He is going to chastise us and rebuke us because He loves us. But if we disobey, the Spirit of God convicts us of that disobedience so that we return to obedience. We go out of... we don't want to. And I say this, I don't understand how anybody can. I've seen it. The Bible talks about it. I believe it's on my heart. But I don't know, understand why anybody would want to leave off obeying God and go back out into a world of disobedience. Because they know the truth that the end, that life, is going to be destruction. But the life that leads us in obedience, in love and favor with Christ and God, that life leads us to life eternal. Hell is hot no matter how far or how much good you've done. Hell is still as hot for you as it is for the guy who never done a good thing in his life. Heaven is just as sweet for the guy who got saved 100 years ago as it is for the person who gets saved today, who might get saved right now and leaves in the next minute. There's no difference in heaven either. The difference of it is that hell is going to be an eternal torment for those who are disobedient, unthankful, unholy. Now, the Bible talks about it, and I'll read that to you if we've got time. But heaven is going to be sweet through the whole thing. And so, you know, why be disobedient and stuff? Well, again, we go back to the Scripture. Jesus said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I don't want my deeds to be evil. I want my deeds to be light. I want to be the light of the world, Jesus said we are. I thought about that and kind of sidestepped and chased a couple rabbits here tonight. But the thing about this, the devil, Lucifer, in the Bible, that word Lucifer means light bearer. He can't be light. He's darkness, right? He's a light bearer. So he's a pretense. He's a pretender. He wants to make you think everything's good. But Jesus tells me and you, when we get saved, he says, ye are the light of the world. Why? Because we are his. And he is light. God is light. The Bible says, in him is no darkness at all. And so if we are in Christ and he is in us, then we're light. And so he says, ye are the light of the world. Not that we ourselves are the, you know, as Christ, but we are the light because we are the reflection of Jesus Christ in this world. If we are in him and he is in us, the Bible just tells us that, then we're light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. God's wrath is going to be poured out upon the children of disobedience. You and I tonight need to realize this, comprehend this, and get this. When judgment comes, it's going to be you and I who are judged of God. We're not going to stand before peers of 12. We're not going to stand there with mom and daddy on the over there pleading, begging, asking God to go ahead and let us get by with this. We're not going to stand there with our children saying, please don't take him away or take her away. We will stand before God. We will give a one-on-one account. And the Bible says that the wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6, for which things sake, again, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. It's evident in my Bible. Should be, if you've got a King James Bible, evident in your Bible that God is going to judge disobedience and the wrath of God is coming upon those that are disobedient. And I don't want to be part of that group. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Hebrews chapter 2, it says, therefore, in verse 1, therefore we ought the more earnestly heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now look at that very carefully. Heed to the things which we have heard. In other words, tonight, church, I'll just say this. You don't believe anything I've said. You don't like me or whatever it is. That's really not important. You ought to believe the Word of God. You ought to like what God's Word says, because in this, the Bible, we find our faith, we find our freedom to be what God would have us to be. We find our salvation in this. And so, you know, if you stop to think about it this evening, you know, maybe somebody watches this later on down the road, maybe you say, well, you know what, I really don't like what he's saying. It doesn't really matter. Give heed to what the Bible says. Hear what the Bible says. You don't have to like me or anybody else around you, but you know what? God loves you. Love God. And when you love God, you'll begin to like me. You'll begin to like other people too. But anyways, he said, therefore we ought to give heed. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Don't let the word of God slip. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression, look at this, and every disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was first begun to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. How can we let this slip? How can we just let this go by? What rationale do we have for disobeying the word of God? What rationale do we have in being disobedient? I mean, does that make any sense whatsoever? In my opinion, it does not make any sense. And therefore, tonight, again, my opinion, $5, you buy you a good cup of coffee and a donut on the side. But if you give heed to the Word and listen to the Word of God, you'll find that I'm right in that spot. Not that I'm right, but that God's right. If I give heed to it and I follow it, that makes more sense than going against it. Paul was asked of Jesus, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? When he was on the road to Damascus to be saved. And I'll tell you the truth, the answer, if we'd got the recorded answer in the Word, Paul would have said absolutely. It's hard. But in this, we know tonight, nobody's going to simply, and I say this in the context of the human mind, in my opinion, nobody goes to hell simply. God is always drawing. God is always speaking. God is always doing something to try. Because the Bible says, remember this, it says, God, yea, God speaks once, yea, twice, yet no man regardeth. God has promised to at least prick your heart twice. And so, I don't think it's easy. And I'll be honest with you, I know for a fact God pricked my heart many times before I gave Him my life. And I wished I'd have gave Him my life a lot sooner, and I wished I'd have got a lot closer a lot sooner. I'm just telling you tonight, I wish that I had been a better person sooner than what I am. And I would have been had I heeded to what God's Word said. And I'd have been ahead in the game, so to say. But I know that God knew exactly what was going to take place. He knew exactly how long it was going to take. He knew the kind of person I was going to be before I was saved. He knew the kind of person I'd be after I was saved. He knew the battles that I would face and the things that we would go through. God knows all of that. And aren't you glad tonight to know that God knows who you are, what you are, how you are, and still yet God loves you. And God never gives up loving you. And so for that tonight, I'm thankful. Again, we probably won't get through just everything tonight. But in in searching the Scriptures, the word disobedient was found 13 times. Again, I always said, well, I knew 13 understood it to mean depravity and rebellion. So I looked at Brother Mike's book and I looked at it and just kind of seen what he was said there. And that's what he said. He said the number 13 is one of the most interesting of all biblical numbers. It is clearly associated with rebellion and depravity, and is the number that is most often points to the person, the beast, a false prophet in Babylon the Great. Now, he goes on to talk about a lot of that there, but I was thinking about it just amongst in myself and things there. All right, who is disobedient and who is what you might call rebellious and depraved? Well, don't have to look any farther than the guy standing right here before you tonight. That was me, disobedient, rebellious. It is kind of an interesting thing to me too, that number 13 being associated with rebellion. And this starts a lot earlier, seems like today, and a lot of things. But you know, we always talk about the rebellious teen years, right? You got the terrible twos. Then you get the rebellious teen years. Well, what number is that start with? You go from being the age of 12 to being the age of 13. At the age of 13, I'm amazed. And of course, again, today, I know we'd say this too. But I'm amazed at how smart a teenager is today compared to their parents who have lived all these things through there. And you have to ask yourself this question: how did a 13-year-old get so smart that their knowledge is beyond the knowledge of two of the parents who might be each one, let's say, anywhere from 30 to 40 years old? How did the combined years of 13, which is 13 by the way, get smarter than the combined years of 60 to 80? It didn't. It's just in their mind, they're so smart, their parents are dumb. I realized in a lot of things in my life that where I thought I was so smart and my parents were so dumb, my parents were really smart and I was the dumb one. And I find that in the scriptures that to be true. Why? Because when I become 13, not saying it didn't start, but in the teen years again, those are the rebellious years. A lot of times that's where it starts out there. Begin to rebel. We don't just rebel against our parents. We rebel against authority. We rebel against our teachers and our law officials, and we rebel against the rules and the regulations. I mean, we really start this process, it seems like, trying to be, a lot of folks say, well, they're trying to be their own person. You can be your own person without being rebellious, okay? That's a given. Not everybody looks like me. Not everybody acts like me. Not everybody has the same taste that I do as far as food goes, nor wears the same type of clothes and, you know, and everything. Not everybody's just like me. We may have some similarities, but there's only one me. And I know tonight my wife would say, praise God, because if there was two of me, she couldn't handle it. But when we stop to think about these things, we are an individual created of God. And if we would stop rebelling against God, instead be obedient to God, we would just see how special God has created us. The word disobedient, again, is found 13 times, which is rebellion or depravity. We find the first time that it's written is in the book of 1 Kings in the 13th chapter. And, excuse me, the man of God is told of God to go a certain direction. Now this is really important for life's instructions, and I want you to think about this. You can go back and read the whole chapter. I'm going to give you just an oversight of it in just a few things here. And I'll read it to you just so that you'll know what I'm talking about here. He said, and when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, and have torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoke unto him. So when you stop and you think about this evening, and you go back to the story there, the man of God was told of God, the word of the Lord, that he was to go a certain direction, and he was not to come back. He was not to come back and eat. He was not to come back and take drink. He was not to come back and fellowship. He was supposed to go through and go on, and that was the long and the short of it. That was the end of it, the things there to go. And along he goes and he does the things that he does, and then they were entreating him to come, and he says, I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to go. God said, don't do these things. Don't come back and eat. Don't come back and drink. Don't come back the way that you came. Just continue on. And so he went on. And then there was another man came to him, and he said, come this way. And he said, I can't do it. God has told me to go this way and do this. Two times out of his mouth, you know, in this aspect, he's told, God said, this is what I'm supposed to do. Then the man said, well, I'm a prophet too. And the angel came and told me. Now, remember what the apostle Paul says. If we or an angel, think about this just now. if we or an angel tell you another gospel, don't follow after that. Follow the one that you know to be true. And so, when God tells you to do something, He will never send somebody else to tell you to do something totally disobedient to what He just told you to do. God does not confuse us. Remember, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So if God told me to go to the end of Andy Street and take a right turn and go to the intersection of Betty and take a right turn and go to the next intersection, which is Huntsville, and take a right turn and then go to the next intersection again, which would be Betty, and take a right turn, or Andy, and take a right turn to get to where I'm going, and I tell somebody, God told me to get here to do this, and they say, okay, and they go along, and then somebody else comes and says, well, God told me to tell you, take a left turn. God would not do that. Reason is if I take a left turn, I'm not getting where I'm going. God always tells you to go the right way to go to the right place. God gives you clear instruction. God gives you clear direction. And therefore, follow after the Word of God. And so we find here that when this man goes, he returns back and then he's rebuked in this, that he went back and he done what God told him not to do. He leaves, and on his way out, he runs into a lion. And a lion gets the man and kills him. And then we find, it says, and when the prophet that brought him back the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Don't disobey God for somebody else. Remember, that's rebellion. Saul was rejected because he disobeyed God. He disobeyed the Word of God. And we'll look at that. But he disobeyed the Word of God, and Saul was rejected from being king because he disobeyed the Word of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And tells us no witch is to be suffered to live. So they were disobedient. Nehemiah says, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, talking about the children of Israel. They rebelled against God, and they cast the law behind their backs and slew the prophets that which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they were wrought with great provocations. Isn't it amazing? We always say, don't shoot the messenger, but that's exactly what happens all the time. And that's what the children of Israel did. They shot the messenger. We know in the book of Matthew, reading there about the servant that was sent from the master to go tell folks and do the work at the vineyard. And they killed him and slew him. They killed the messenger. It's always happening. Well, the reason they do is because, again, go back to what I opened up with. Men's deeds are evil. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. 13 times, disobedient, found, rebellion. In Luke chapter 1, verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit of power as Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's the preparation of the gospel, turning one around, right? In Paul was talking to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, whereupon King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And Paul was talking about when he was to be saved, and he went from being Saul to Paul. He listened to what he heard and what he was seeing in the vision. He listened to Jesus talk to him. And he followed after, and he learned, what he was going to have to do. Romans chapter 1, he said, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents. The Bible tells us not to be disobedient to our parents. And if we're not disobedient to our parents, we should live a long life. And I'm going to tell you something. I wonder how long I'll live because of how disobedient I was. And I would claim ignorance, But there is no ignorance in this. But the facts of the matter is this, you know, kids don't believe this today. People don't believe this today. But you know what? God's going to judge disobedience. God's going to judge the disobedient. And when you stop to talk about it, disobedience is an action. Disobedient is a character. Disobedience is what they did. Disobedient is who they are. And therefore, Paul was saying, I was not disobedient. My character was to obey what God said. In chapter 10 of the book of Romans, verse 21, but to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Excuse me, God reaches out. 1 Timothy, knowing this, that the law was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. You can't get past these things, right? If we were obedient unto God, we wouldn't have to have the law, right? If everybody would, let's just say this, if everybody would drive in a safe manner, you in a respectful manner, you wouldn't have to have law enforcement out there pulling people over, because they would see the law and they would obey the law. Or they'd see the sign that said, hey, it's safe to drive 55 down here, and they'd drive 55. They would see somebody coming from the right hand and they'd say, you know what, he may not stop, so I'm going to stop for him. And then you might pull up to the intersection and there's no stop sign, but both of you looking at one another just being real polite, saying, no, you go ahead, man, have a good day, get on where you're going. Not us. We watched a video the other night of things that were happening, and wrecks that happened, and I can't remember the name of it, but wrecks that were happening, cars, and people were running into people, and they got a camera on their dashboard, and they see a vehicle coming the other way, and it's going to turn left in front of them, or they're coming up, and I kept telling myself, Lynette, I'd say, hit your brakes. I mean, come on, people. And some of them, you would see them, they would hit their brakes a little bit, they'd slow down a little bit, but the other car would keep coming, and they just run right into them. I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? You know, we're disobedient. 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Titus 1:16, they profess themselves to be wise, but in works they deny him, or they profess that they know God. Okay, put the words as it's written, not as the way I talk, because I do that a lot. They profess that they know God, but in works deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. In other words, they don't want anything to do with right. They are set to do wrong. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I'm so glad tonight that's no longer my character. Matter of fact, I want to love people. I want to like people. I want to get along with people. Not for, let's just all get along, but I want to do so in a manner that is pleasing to God, and that I'll be able to hear the voice of God to know what He would have me to do in life. In 1 Peter 2:7, He said, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. They just don't want anything there. They're disobedient to the word of God. They're disobedient to God Himself. And I hate to say it, but there are some folks who just, that's just the way it is. God knows it. If you think about it, they're going to do what they're going to do. God's going to use them and show His glory, show His power. And 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 20 says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved. We once were like those that were disobedient. There was a time in our lives, if you're a child of God tonight, and I say this with these words, if you're a child of God tonight, walking in the way that God would have you to do, there are those who were at one point disobedient, but now tonight, by the grace of God, they're not. Christ has set them free in this. But, you know, it's sad for us to think about. The Bible says that in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we know the Bible says wherein there were a few that were saved. There was just eight that got aboard the ark. I'm going to be honest with you tonight, church. I pray God take me out of here before it gets that bad in step. But we're living in that day, which that time is approaching to where they are going to be that way. And I don't want to be that way. I want to be an obedient servant of God, doing the will of God, praising the name of God, glorifying Him, honoring Him, magnifying Him. I want to be counted worthy because of the blood of the Jesus Christ being applied to my life. And the only way I know to do that is to become obedient. The Bible talks about obedience, but obedient even to the cross. And that is that I'm willing to die for Christ as Christ was willing to die for me, allowing Him to have full control and reign and rule in my life, that I might be one who glorifies Him and leads others to Him. I hope you enjoyed this tonight. Again, there's more through there. And I said we was going to get some more, but we won't get to them tonight. But just remember this. When it comes to the Bible's never wrong. So if you're at odds with the Bible, it's not the Bible, it's you. And we ought to make sure that we get right with the Bible. And again, I'll stress it tonight, your King James Bible. Get right with your Bible. If God's Word says it, do it. If God's Word says don't do it, don't do it. And you'll never regret having been that way. Father, tonight we thank You, Lord, again for Your love. We thank You, Father, for Your mercy. We thank You, Father, for Your grace. And Lord, we just pray tonight, Lord, that Your will would be done in our lives. Again, asking You, Father, touch those that are in need. Help them, each and every one. Touch each heart and each soul tonight, Father. We pray according to Your will, Your plan, and Your purpose for their lives. And Lord, we ask You tonight, just give us the strength that we need each day. Again, Father, we pray, help us through tomorrow. Give us strength and readiness to be able to be back with folks, Father, at church on Sunday. If Your will be done, we'll give You glory in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you, Lord willing, Sunday morning.